circumstances certainly do have a way of dictating in our life. We know that God is going to speak through circumstances. And what you've got to understand, in the circumstances of your life, they're coming so that you will learn some things from God. God does not just let circumstances come into your life for no good reason. He doesn't just sit up in heaven and say, well, duh, guess what? Oh, yeah, I see you got a problem. No, I want you to know that every circumstance that comes into your life cannot sneak by the hand of God. And every circumstance in your life has a purpose to it. Now, let's recap a little bit. We're saved by grace through? Say it again. We're saved by grace through? Then how do we live? If you're saved by grace through faith, how do you live? Easy, Brother Harry. We live by grace through, like, whatever I think we should do and what I'm thinking and what I'm feeling. And then I come to God and see if He'd like to join me and decide that the decision I'm making about this meets His approval, and then God will adjust His life to what I want. You all shake your head like that's not how we live, and you're lying, because that's exactly how we live. We are not living by grace through faith. We live by grace, and then after that, we do what we think we should do, and then we ask God to join us. Come on, God, get in on us. And God, I expect you to be happy with the way I've planned my life. And young people, if you don't think that's true, think about what you have done in the last several weeks. How many times have you got up in the morning and say, all right, God, I'm here. Now, let me ask you something, God. How can I walk with you by faith today? No, you've never even talked to Him about your day. You just went out and did your own thing and hope He blessed it. Now, you say, how do you know that? Because you've learned it from them. That's exactly how they live. Remember what I've been sharing. You know, the only time we need God is when we're broke or have cancer. Other than that, I can pretty much handle life on my own. And that is the problem that we face in this faith walk, because we're dependent on our own self instead of being dependent on God by grace through faith. And so as I'm living this life, I want to handle my life by my own abilities. Now, the question has to be asked here is this. Why in the world would you want to really have control of your own life? Why would you really like to call the shots in your life? I mean, do you really want to be the one who makes the decisions about what you should do? Do you really want to be the one who decides how you should live? And all the young people said what? Yes. I'm like old enough now to make my own decisions. And like my mom and dad, I just need them to do what I want. Do you really want that? Yes. Can you imagine if God allowed us to have that? Folks, our lives would be a wreck if we were left to ourselves. And so we have to come to a place where we realize that every circumstance of life is initiated by God. Nothing sneaks up on God. And we live and serve a sovereign God. Even bad stuff can't get by God without Him allowing it or approving it. If you think evil can live independent of a holy God, you think way too highly of evil and too little of God. And you say, but look at this circumstance. Absolutely. Now let me tell you what this circumstance is about. God hasn't spoken in 400 years. And God is fixing to talk again, and He's going to use a baby, He's going to use a river, and He's going to use a mother's faith, because Moses is going to be the one that God uses to initiate the plan to get started, where He delivers the children of Israel, they become the people of God, and from that day forward, everything that God is doing is pointing us to the cross of Jesus Christ. Everything that will happen from Moses' birth on is to point you to the cross of Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to be the Son of God who has come and placed Himself in the river of life and floated Himself down the river of life into the hands of a holy God for the purpose of giving His life. God's fixing to talk. And God's got something to say to every one of us. Now, the problem that we're talking about here is that we just want God, like I said, to adjust his will to my will. And I want God to have faith in my decisions. Instead of walking with him by grace through faith, I want God to start thinking the way I think. And now God is looking, though, to launch faith in a direction that will cause you to be dependent on him and cause you to reach the goal of, say it again. And so every single circumstance, good, bad, or indifferent, we're learning in this faith walk, has got to come from the hand of God to make you like the Son of God. Even the bad stuff is going to teach you. Because what have I been teaching you so far? Circumstances do not make you what you are. They will reveal what you are. Your circumstances are not making you what you are. My friend, you're going to be revealed for what you are. And so now God is going to launch the boat of faith. Now, Ephesians 2:10, right before, he says, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, that we may do the good works which God predestined for us, that we should walk in them, living in the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us in life." What is that telling us about circumstances? Even the good stuff I do isn't my idea. Even the good stuff I do wasn't my idea. It was God's idea. And God is working out his good pleasure and his plan in us and through us to fulfill the goal of not only us being dependent on him, but us mimicking and being the handiwork of his Son. So why is it that we miss the life that God has planned for us? And I believe one of the reasons we miss it is we never want to launch the ark of faith. We don't want to float the boat down the river and see what God can do. Now, I want to show you five things this morning about this mother's faith. And I'll tell you what, I think there are going to be five things that are going to speak to you, because in these things, you're going to see how we usually handle circumstances ourselves. But there's five truths I want you to see this morning. Here's the first one. She trusted God's providence. Here she is. She knows something. Crying baby inside a house equals death. Ark in a water is the only hope of life. There is no other plan. So watch this. The mother for 3 months does all she can do. But when the 3 month period comes, the baby can no longer be hidden because he's beginning to grow. He's beginning to cry. And if he cries at the wrong time inside the house, they will come and take the baby, and the baby will be destroyed because Pharaoh began to fear Israel. And he feared Israel in such a way that he decided the only way to take care of this Israelite problem is we're going to kill all the first male-born children. Now, isn't that funny? When push came to shove at the end of Pharaoh's life, the thing he brought on the Israelites came on himself. And so she understands a crying baby equals death. And so she takes the ark, she builds it, she puts the pitch on it, she makes it to where it can float, she puts the baby in the boat, in the ark, and she floats it down the river. Now, let me show you something here. Faith believes and does that which is good and sensible. What have I been showing you so far? Walking with God by faith is not being so spiritual, you're spooky. Well, I'm a faithful one. Well, no, you're spooky. You scare us. And I want you to know, it's not some big spooky thing. Walking with God by faith, you're going to see faith believes and does what is good and right. There was only one thing she can do. She had to place this baby into the hands of God. It was her only hope. And so as she placed this baby in the hands of God, it was the most sensible thing she could do. Faith always makes sense. It makes sense. as I've been praying for you as a church, some of the things that I am seeing that I think need to change, and I've been real honest with all the leaders that I've talked to, I think you got to pay this place off. I mean, I've made that pretty clear to you, haven't I? I think that you ought to be starting some kind of plan. I think your finance committee, personnel committee, every committee there is in this church ought to get together, sit down, begin to pray, and say, God, what are you initiating about this? You don't have to wait for a pastor to pay your bills. And I think you ought to find out, what is God initiating about this? And let's do what's sensible that does not keep us from walking with Him by faith. But walk with, not by sight, but we walk with Him by faith. Let's do something sensible. And I want to tell you, the most sensible thing you can do is to find out what God is initiating about this building debt, and then ask Him what He wants you to do, and then walk with Him by faith. But inquire of Him. And when you are inquiring of God, God will give you the most sensible answer to whatever your situation is. It makes sense. Now, faith is not the leap into darkness, although sometimes it's a leap into the unknown. Sometimes God is going to ask you to walk with Him by faith. I remember about, 15 more years or so now, I was traveling and singing, and that's all I was doing, and everybody likes the singing guy. If you're a singing guy and you're not like, quit because you've got problems, everybody likes the singing guy. Now, God began to say to me, I'm calling you to preach. And here was my response. Nah. Don't make any money. Nobody likes you. No, thank you. Don't want that job. I'll just sing. Everybody likes it. And God began to lay it on my heart that He was calling me to do something that I didn't feel like I was equipped to do. And God began to nail this thing in my heart that what He was calling me to do made more sense than me sitting here in the house crying. And so I had to get into the pitched ark, and I had to float this thing down the river and saw where God took it. And I know some of you this morning saying, well, He took the wrong turn. You should have kept singing, boy, because you can't praise your life. And I understand that. But I want you to know that sometimes that God asks us to take a step of faith into something that's unknown. It's not a step in the darkness. It's a step into the light He's given you. When you guys went to Russia, you took a step into the unknown. But God turned it to good. Because you took that step, because He gave you that much light to step into. You see this? And so as we're walking with Him by faith, you don't have to go out here and then take some big leap of faith that's not smart. You take a leap of faith because God has given you light, and it's the most sensible thing you can do because God's told you to do it. And when God is talking to you, it's not some unknown thing. We have a couple things we do at church that I think are really cool. We make a big deal about baby dedications. We'll stand our couples up, they'll hold those babies up, and we don't commit the babies as much as we commit the parents. And we make a big deal. As a matter of fact, we make the parents stand here and say, you two promise to, and we go through a whole list of what you're going to be a godly parent. And each parent says, I do. And it's like taking marriage vows. I do, I do, I do. We do something else at our church that you're going to get to see here next week. You say, what's that? When our children get saved, we don't baptize them. We let the daddies baptize them. Why? They're your kid. You're going to have to float them down the river. Let's just start here. And I want to tell you something. Next week, we have a daddy that's going to baptize his little daughter. So those of you who think, well, you have to be a minister to baptize. Not in the Bible. You know, the Bible's got to be clear on this. And we're a big deal. This is a family issue, and it's a family matter. And the only thing we ask of daddies before you baptize your child is that you are as right with God as you can possibly be. And so you're going to see that in the next several weeks, some daddies who are going to baptize their children. And I want to tell you something, folks. You better hang on. There ain't going to be a dry eye in the joint. Because there's nothing like getting this family thing involved. In other words, here's the greatest decision a mom and dad are praying for. What are you praying for greater than your children coming to know the Lord? So when it comes time to baptize them, we think you ought to get in on that too. Amen. You say, well, are you able to do that? I don't know. I'm just the interim. I'm just doing it until someone tells me I can. And so far, nobody's messed with me about anything. And so I'm just going to keep going and asking forgiveness instead of permission. And so we're going to just do it until somebody tells me we can't. And I don't have any problem with that because you don't know who's in charge here and I don't know who's in charge here. So we'll just all keep going until we find out what God wants us to do. Amen. Now, faith trusts the providence of God in the most perilous of times, and faith is the calming influence on a threatened life. My friend, nothing will calm you quicker when you are in the rivers of life than knowing you are in there with God. He's big enough to make the world, and he's big enough to float with me down a river of life. Amen? I want to show you a second thing about this mama. She leaned on God's protection. Pharaoh was using the river as a grave. She used it as a cradle for the infant's life. He used it as a grave. She used it as the river of life. Faith leans on God's protection because without God, my friend, we really don't have much hope. And I've already showed you, the enemy's activity in our life is always limited. Let me tell you what I mean by that. The enemy's activity, the pharaohs of your life, whoever they are, whatever they are, their role in your life is limited. Example, Jesus Christ, before he left, said this, I'm leaving you and you have all power on heaven and earth. How much is left? You have, church, all power on heaven and earth. How much is left? None. So where does he get his power? Well, I just don't know what we're going to do. And what's the enemy say? Well, bring some of those, I don't know what we're going to do demons over here. Get them over here on their case, you know? Well, I'm not sure how I'm going to make a living. Okay, all that we're going to run out of money, demons, you get over here. Let's go after that crowd. Listen. Nothing can come into your life that God has not limited, and he's teaching you how to be dependent on him. Now, nobody wants to change places with you, but in this time, you're going to become more like Christ, and you're going to become more dependent on Christ because God knows the plan. And when God knows the plan, my friend, we can walk with him because even the pharaohs of our life can only touch us. They can't control us. When we walk with God by faith. Let me give you four facts about his protection, though. And I thought these are kind of interesting. Here's the first one. Faith in God will always supersede the power of the enemies in your life. She put that baby in the river. Now, let's stop for a minute. How many of y'all are ready to float your kid down the river? Well, let me share something with you. Junior high people, you scare us. Oh, man, you scare us. And here's why. We're afraid that when we put you in the river and let you start making decisions, you're really going to mess up. So we're afraid to kind of let you go. So you know what we're going to do? We're not going to let you make any decisions in life until you turn 19, and then we're going to get mad at you for making wrong decisions. Moms and dads, you better teach them. You got 19 years to get them to Christ likeness so that when you have to float them down the river at age 19 or at age 16, you've got to be able to float these kids down the river knowing that you've given them the very best. But you've got to see something here. Your faith in God is always going to supersede the power of the enemy. God is going to protect your kids, and he's not going to forsake you. He's not going to leave you. And even if he has to take your kids away, they don't want to go to help them get to Christ likeness, don't sweat it. It's still going to turn out. Oh, but brother, you don't understand. You haven't met my children. I'm not worried about them going down the river. I'm worried about them going up the river. Brother Harry, my kids, when everybody's swimming this way, they're swimming this way. I want you to know, even if you have children that look like they have potential to go up the river, as a matter of fact, I was voted by my high school class the guy most likely to do a life term. Would have been a white-collar job, but I would have done it. But you know something? I went back from my high school reunion, and they looked at me, and they said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a Baptist minister. Oh, he's still funny! You better sit down, folks. Hey, listen, God is sovereign, people. And whatever your circumstances, and especially you parents, I know you're scared to death to float your kids down the river. But you've got to float them down the river, or God can't ever take them where he needs to take them. I'll tell you another thing. Faith in God went beyond Pharaoh's plan. Pharaoh planned to kill him. Faith in God went beyond a mother's hope. Now, I love this part. Would you like me to go find a Hebrew woman, maybe anywhere, and have him nurse this child? And here's Moses' sister, goes and gets Moses' mother. She comes back, and guess what? Moses' mother now has a child who is a prince in the palace. Now, mothers, you're saying, well, that's not very fair. Okay, he could have died, and now you've been given by God the chance to live in a palace, and you get to nurse him, and you get paid. I'm looking at you mothers. Look at you. Look at the looks on your face. It's like someone gave you a whole new scheme of making money. I could get paid. I should be getting paid. You ain't got enough money to pay them. Watch this. It went beyond Pharaoh's plan. It went beyond the world's advice. You know what I love about this? Here's the devil trying to kill all these kids, and he ends up paying the diaper bill. He ends up paying the diaper bill, people. Why? Because she learned how to lean on God's protection. And whatever your circumstance is today, I want to tell you, you have the protection of God. He is your Father as children of God. But if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I want to tell you, not only do you not have the protection of God, my friend, you're in the river without a paddle and you have no hope. And you need to know that. We have to be as honest as we can. Without Jesus Christ, you are going to miss heaven. Write it down. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. And it's not trouble that I'm better than you or you're better than me. It's trouble because you don't have the Son of God. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. I'm not one of many ways. I am the only way. When you become my child, I want to tell you, I am a father who protects his children. Here's the third thing about the mother I want you to see. She looked for God's plan. Verse 4. She waited to see what would happen. Now, the mother didn't go wait and see. She sent the daughter down, and she looked to see how the plan would unfold. She shows her supreme hope and trust is in God, because guess what? She does not have to follow God to make sure the plan comes through. She's not following the baby down the river and saying, okay, God, I'm following your plan. But by the way, excuse me, Hebrew kid in the basket over here. Hey, princess lady, look at this kid. Would this not be prince material? Wouldn't this be a great child to live? No. She never left the house. Why? She so trusted God, she sent the child to just simply come and say, come back and give me the report of what God did. And she waited for the plan of God to unfold. Now, our struggle as Christians is we don't know how to rest in God, do we? And we don't wait very well, do we? And we want God's plan right now. We want him to map it all out for us, don't we? If he did, he would scare the bejeebers out of you. Can you imagine if 4 months ago he said, I'm going to send a guy to you to be your interim, and you all better buckle in for a few months. You you would have died. Because it would have been scary for you. Don't you understand? We have got to learn how to wait on God's plan and trust Him. Now, she did everything she could do. She didn't like sit around and say, well, I'm just waiting on God. No, sometimes you're waiting on God because you're assuming on God. You only wait until He's initiated something that you walk by faith and you only start. Well, doesn't the Bible teach don't just stand there and do something? No, it teaches don't just do something, stand there. Henry Blackaby has made that clear to us. You don't just go do something for the sake of doing something. Don't just do something, stand there and wait and see what He's going to do. And when His plan unfolds, you can trust His plan because you can trust God knows what He's doing. Now, let me get three truths about waiting. Here's the first one. Faith has confidence in God's plans. What did I say earlier? We plan, then we say, here's what we're going to do now, God. I'm walking by grace through. Here's what I think I should do now. Come on, God, You bless this. Okay, God, here's what I want. And then when God doesn't come through, you blame Him. Like it's His fault that your plan failed. It's got to fail. It's still your plan. But this faith has confidence in God's plan. Faith doesn't rush in and help God's plan. The mother didn't try to influence God here or the people. Let me tell you a great story here. 4 years ago, I had learned a tough lesson. I was doing a men's retreat. There's about 50 guys there, and they invited me to come in and preach, and God really gave me a word for this crowd. And I'm telling you, God showed up that weekend, and these men, God got a hold of their hearts. And I mean, we had us a time where God just plain old showed up. And men caught the vision of Christ's likeness, and they got their heart right. Now, they were a bunch of rich, yuppie guys. And so, I was thinking to myself, way back here, you know, I need a van. So I thought a little bit about trusting God by faith. Because, you know,
there may be someone in here who could write a check for that van.
You know, I'm not going to come right out and say that, but, you know, that thought's in the back of my mind here. And, you know, I went all weekend, and God just showed up, and here I was in the middle of it all, and I started telling this story about walking God by faith and how I was believing God for a van. And when I got home, God says, where's the van? And I said, you didn't provide it. And He said, you asked the wrong person for it. Why are you trolling among those rich guys hoping they'll meet your need when I'm the one who meets your needs? He said, Brother Harry, you shouldn't have done that. You all do it. We're all wanting to always tell everybody what our needs are, hoping that somehow you'll get the picture. My son pulled it at Christmas, about a month before Christmas. He goes, Dad, GameCube. You know, every kid ought to have one of those. Now, I would just as well take my money that I've saved up from my allowance, which we give him an allowance, and I'm trying to figure out what for. The kid can't even clean his own room. And I'm wondering why we do this. And you know something? He's always trolling. He's always trolling. My friend, you've got to understand something about God. Faith doesn't rush in to help God's plan. Do all you can do, but don't do more than you can do. And don't do more than what God wants you to do. And you find out what that plan is, and you wait on Him, and do what you can do. But you don't do anything until He said, do it. Do it. Here's another truth I want you to see. Faith follows God's plan when it's different than our plan and when it's difficult. Faith follows God's plan when it's different than our plan and when it's difficult. Why? Well, I think it just comes down to this, folks. God has a great track record. When it comes to doing His plan, God has a great track record, folks. And you know something else? Get this, young people. Look at me. He can be trusted. Even when His plan's different than yours. And sometimes even when the plan is difficult. And I know some of y'all have plans for your life and plans for what you're going to do and what you want to do. And I'm telling you, sometimes your plan may look like a good plan, but if it's not God's plan, it is going to fail. It's got to. Now, I want to take a little time to talk about something else right here. As Christians, one of the struggles we face is when God's working His plan in some other people's lives, we're real quick to want to bail them out of it. And sometimes we'll bail them out before they're done. If God is initiating the faith walk in someone's life and you take them out of the water before they learn to swim, when they go back, they're going to drown. Example, I can tie shoes better than Andrew Layton can. But if I don't teach him to tie his shoe, he will be losing shoes all his life. If we have somebody who's in the fire, and my nature when I see a Christian brother in need is to always help them. That's why they don't let me do benevolence at our church anymore. Here it is. Here, thank you. I don't give the church's money away. I give mine away because I'm a sucker for a story. But I'm smart enough to know something. If I see someone's in the fire of life, I don't help them get out of it unless God tells me to help them get out of it. And if I get them out of it before they learn the message of faith, it's going to cost me something and they didn't learn the lesson. Parents, don't be so quick to want to bail them out of the fires of life. It's better that they learn how to fail in there and then learn how to walk with God. If you're always bailing them out, guess what? When it comes time to walk with them by faith, they won't know how. Amen? Now, if you see a brother in need and you know you can help them, you ought to go to God and say, do you want me to help them? And if He says yes, then you should help them. But don't help them without asking. Because you may be doing something that you think is really good, but it's going to keep this person from walking with God by faith. Here's the next truth. She saw God's provision. Now, her walk of faith and her trust in God, she leaned on God. She put the baby in the ark. She did her best. She did all she could. But she had to come to a place when self-help is exhausted, you better have someone you can go to. And she had to see the provision of God. She saw God take that boy out of the river. And she saw God take that child. She saw God put him in Pharaoh's palace. And I want to tell you something, folks. She saw the provision of God. When she did, by faith, the most solid thing she could possibly do, and that was to give up her kid. Again, to parents. One of the most solid things you can do is to train your child in Christ's likeness so that when they do float down the river, you don't have to feel like if they float the wrong way, it's all your fault. You don't have to feel like, well, did I do enough? My friend, if you're walking with God and you're doing all that you can do to get your children to Christ's likeness, then you're going to have to trust the provision of God that He's going to take this child through. If you've done all you can in your circumstance of life, and now you're absolutely in a place of being dependent on God, and you've done all you know to do, and now you are waiting, you can wait on the provision of God because He promises to meet the needs of our life. Here's the fifth and final thing. She saw that faith had a personal reward. You say, what's the reward here? She lost her son. Wrong. She didn't lose her son. She knew exactly where he was at all times. And God did for her son what she couldn't do for her son. then God raised up her son, and you know what her son did? He became the picture of Christ in the Old Testament, and God used him to deliver the people from the land of bondage. The Red Sea crossover is a tremendous picture of salvation where God takes us from death to life. And Moses is an Old Testament picture of Christ, I believe, and shows us how God can deliver us, and the results of his faith had a personal reward because she saw three things. Number one, she saw the faithfulness of God. He turned her pain into praise, people. He turned her pain into praise. Why? And there are some of you in your homes, things aren't going good. Your relationship with your mate, it may not be what you want it to be. And I'm here to tell you, God is going to take your pain and he will turn it to praise when you trust the faithfulness of God. And wait. She also saw freedom from her own bondage and for the bondage of the children of Israel. And then she saw the finality of faith, that the promises of God are irrevocable. See, the world rejoices over what you've done. See, if you make $1 million and climb Mount Everest, you're a success. God says, if you walk with me by faith, you are a success. And we measure our success not by what we do, my friend. We measure our success by what he has done. Okay? Now what do you believe in God for? Because for some of you, he may ask you to float something in your life that you hold dear down the river. Be your children, or your future, or your job, or your family. I don't know what it is. But I want to tell you something right now. You can trust him when you learn to rest in him and him alone. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father God, I would praise you and thank you for today. Thank you for loving us. I pray that you would show us in our life what it is in our life that we need to simply float down your river, God, absolutely and totally dependent on you. And with our heads bowed just a moment, there may be one here today that's saying, hey, Brother Harry, I have never gotten into God's river. I have never gotten to the place where I've trusted him as my Savior. If that's you today, my friend, we're here to help you. Staff is here. When we begin to sing in a moment, we're going to stand and sing. And when we do, I invite you to come. Some of you are here today and you got something you need to float down the river and you know it. God's speaking to your heart already. Why don't you get up and come to his altar? We're going to do this until the day I leave, but this is God's altar. Why don't you come and surround this place and begin to pray and let some of our family come and pray with you. And so right now, if you've got something you know you've got to float down a river, I want you to get up and come and surround this place right now. And we're going to pray with you. Let's stand together as we sing this morning. Is God speaking to your heart? If you need to become a Christian, we're here. If you need to come to the altar, it's here. As we sing this morning.
Wonderful
Savior. Sing with us.
All of my days are held in your hand, crafted into your perfect plan. I catch your hand, your holy calling, send me a breath, and only be yourself.
Let's sing the chorus together.
Take me, hold me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the power of God.
said that, mold me, make me, lead me, guide me. God, it's not grace and what I think, or grace and what I feel, or grace and what I want. It's grace through faith. And God, by faith, we're walking with you. As the ushers have come, we're going to take our offering this morning. I'm real proud of y'all. You really stepped to the plate at the end of last year. I knew you would. You gave, and we went and had money over budget, and we're just praising the Lord for that. And so I just want to continually share my heart with you. Before I leave, I'm hoping you'll come up with some kind of plan to pay this place off. If you'll do that, I'll feel like I've accomplished something here, because I think you need to get this building stuff paid off, because you're out of space and we need to build again. Amen. And that's faith talking, hopefully. Now, let's pray for our offering, and you pray about what God would have you to give. If you're a guest here today, thanks for coming. You're important to us. Come on back next week. If you want to come through the family time, there'll be a sign-up time out there, and we'll look forward to seeing you all next week, and let's pray. Father God.